Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just me today. We've got Earth, Wind, and Fire for you. A little Earth, Wind, and Fire is always good for the soul. Austin, now I'm back.
Welcome back, Paul. Good to have you back. Aren't you off on Monday?
No, I'm back. I am not off on Monday. So, I was away for a while. Then I got back for a day or two. Then I was away again. It's so hard, like, to get back into this mode the first day you're back.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. You got to ease your way into it just a little bit.
You got to kind of figure out, okay, here we go. You know what I'm saying? All this stuff. It's important to note that.
Yeah, you're still on island time. And you need your warm-up, your 15-minute warm-up process.
You're just basically not in a hurry to do anything, you know, and you wake up. And so I was actually golfing up in upstate New York, believe it or not.
Pretty sweet.
Most people go to, like, South Carolina or Florida or whatever. But I went to Saratoga National Golf Course, which is an amazing place. Beautiful course. The weather was perfect for 2 days. You know what? Can't complain. So anyway, I get back, and first day of Steeler camp, I'm driving back, and I see Russell Wilson needs the day off. Didn't even get started yesterday.
He woke up and his calf hurt. Did you wake up with a calf cramp today?
I'm 50 plus years old. I can tell you, I wake up, every part of my body hurts. But I don't want to overreact. I don't want to overreact, but is this a bad sign of what might come?
It's easy to see why the doubt can be put into your mind, especially the first practice on a new team trying to prove something.
And what's the criticism, consistent criticism of Russell Wilson throughout? He's not exactly the hardest working guy on his team. He's not exactly the guy that goes, you know, first in the locker room, last out. He's not exactly a guy who's known for really pushing himself. And I would think, like you said, first year and a first at a new team and everything else, first day you'd want to be out there and running around. And, well, if it's a calf injury, I guess, you know, I don't know. Come on, man. So he didn't have a calf injury on Monday.
Mike Tomlin's playing it really close to the vest and not wanting to risk anything, it appears.
Again, it could be nothing. It could be nothing. It could also be a sign of things to come.
He's been a pretty durable quarterback during his career.
He has. It could also be a sign of a guy who has $40 million coming to him regardless of what happens. Isn't that what the Broncos have to pay him this year?
Yeah, 38, 39, something like that, paired with the Steelers at the right at 40.
So regardless of what happens, the guy's getting 38, 39 million, whatever.
He played every game from 2012, his rookie year, to 2020. Every single game. And then 14 and 21, 15 and 22. Remember, he was benched for the last couple of games for Denver. He played all 15 games before that.
Right.
But pretty concerned, a little bit concerning. Also very precautionary and very early in camp. But still, I mean, if you're Russell Wilson, you want to get out there, especially when Justin Fields is creeping up and looking behind you the whole entire, you're looking behind him or whatever. You're looking at him from your rearview mirror, knowing that that guy's trying to take your job and that people think that there's a true quarterback competition.
Well, again, the other part of it is, I mean, everything I know about him is I don't know. I don't know that he's a guy that loves football. Like, that concerns me. I mean, I think he, you know, on some level enjoys playing football, and it's been something he's played his whole entire life. But I don't get the impression that he loves it, you know?
I feel like baseball was his first love.
You know what I mean? And so I'm not saying that there's something more to it than just he was had a sore calf and they wanted to be cautious. But I've had some feelings about how this could go one way or the other for the Steelers. Now, I still am in the camp that I believe that Russell Wilson will do a good job and be a good player for them. Still in that camp. But there's a part of me in the back of my mind from day one when they signed him that has said, I don't know if this guy loves football. And if you don't love it, boy, having a $40 million check put on your table, regardless of what happens, I think it takes a special person, 14 or what is it, 12 years into his career, whatever it is. I think it takes a special, you better love football. You know, every time as you start to get into camp, and well, not really in camp, but once you start to get into the season and your body starts hurting, and you have to start doing all the things to recover from a Sunday, you know what I mean? That $40 million check. That's something that looks really, really good.
Yeah, but do you think him missing one practice to begin training camp that Tomlin probably made the call on is proving that he doesn't love football?
No, I'm just saying there are things that you have to watch out for. Listen, I'm still in the camp that I think he's going to do fine, and I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt on this. My point is, it's just something to sort of keep an eye on. You know what I mean? Because it could happen where he basically says, you know what? I'm not feeling it anymore. So anyway, do we have Ray? Is Ray coming on here?
Yeah, Ray is going to be connected in about a minute, 30 seconds here, and then he'll be all good to go.
Okay. Well, let me know. We've got Ray Fittipaldo. He's going to talk about all this kind of stuff. And it's going to be important that the Steelers kind of get off to a really good start and get going and get to a point where, you know, you're basically but you've got a new quarterback. You've got a new quarterback who didn't play the first day. You've got things that you're going to be okay. So anyway, that's just the way I look at it, really. I mean, I think the Steelers have a chance. I do. And I think they have a chance to be really good. But it's the one thing I will say that gives me pause is that I'm not sure that the starting quarterback loves football. All right, let's get Ray. Hi, Ray. How are you? Oh, wait, where's his music? Where's Everybody Loves Raymond? City Limits, you're slipping. Hang on. You're slipping.
In the middle of the segment.
Let's do it. We got to have he's got walk-up music. We always have walk-up music on this show. Joe would be furious with you right now. There we go. Now we can go to Ray. Hi, Ray. How are you?
Nothing gets me in the mood. Nothing gets me in the mood for football like everybody loves Raymond walk-up music.
Yeah, everybody loves Raymond, right? So you're getting ready to watch training camp. I was saying before you got on that it is a little bit unnerving that day one, your starting quarterback had to be held out with a calf injury or whatever it is. Now, obviously, it doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things, but I've had a theory that we should watch and monitor, and I'm going to ask your opinion here. I've never really, really been sold on the fact that Russell Wilson loves football. Like, he doesn't strike me as a football head like Brady and all these other guys. He doesn't strike me as somebody who even feels like he needs it. And that's especially true ever since he, you know, the last 4 or 5 years when he, you know, got with a celebrity or whatever. And I just feel like a lot of other things are more important to him.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, listen, he does have a celebrity wife, and he is always on social media, you know, promoting something. But, you know, I will say that, you know, what was significant about yesterday was that was the first time Justin Fields had a chance to run with the ones, because Russell always wanted to be there in the spring during OTAs and during minicamp. I think, you know, with those 4 weeks of practice, I think we're talking – you know, 12 or 15 opportunities, and Russ took advantage of all of them. He was out there for all of them. When a lot of times, honestly, Paul, veterans skip those on many occasions. But, you know, from that perspective, I think Russ, you know, he's probably looking at this opportunity, his third team in 4 years, probably looking at this at 36 years old as his last good shot to win a Super Bowl, I think. So, yeah, you could say, you know, he's got other interests, and he does, but, you know, if he is focused on winning one more Super Bowl, you know, some 10 years after his last one, this is probably his best chance to do it. So from what we saw in the spring, I think he's, you know, he's a guy who certainly, you know, looked like he wanted to be here at that point.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that's the case. I'm just worried it's not. Because at the end of the day, you have a $40 million check sitting on your table. No matter what you do, you're going to get it.
Right.
All of a sudden, yeah. You know what? Getting out of bed on Monday mornings after getting banged around for, you know, 3 hours on Sunday seems less and less appealing. That being said, is he going to practice today?
Well, they're just trickling onto the field now. That we'll start stretching at 10:30. They'll go for about an hour and a half or 2 hours today. So we'll find that out momentarily. I'll be tweeting about it. But like you said, Paul, and Omar Khan said this yesterday when he talked to us, they're going to be cautious with Russell Wilson. He's 36 years old. You have 3 more unpadded practices before they put the pads on Tuesday. There's no rush to get him out there, especially since he took so many reps in the spring. So I haven't heard when he did it. You know, Russ talked to us on report day on Wednesday, didn't mention anything about it. I assume it happened during the conditioning test. So, you know, if it's a fresh injury, I'm sure they'll take their time. You know, Mike Tomlin sort of painted the picture yesterday that he was the one to go, if you want to read in between the lines there. So I think there's a small chance that he's out there today, but I think certainly by next week, if everything progresses well, he'll be out there when it counts.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, I guess there's plenty of time. And, you know, it is the preseason. It just the first day. It's a little bit alarming to me.
Yeah, and you look at all the guys they had three guys start the season on the PUP list: Cordero Patterson, Dean Lowry, and Cole Holcomb. And I think, what do all those guys have in common, except for Holcomb? They're all 30 years or older. So, you know, this is the time when veterans, you know, come up with these soft tissue injuries. So, you know, it certainly is something to watch there. So, you know, hopefully Russell is back out there soon, and, you know, same for Patterson and Lowry. But, I think anytime an older guy comes up with a soft tissue injury early in camp, I think it's, I don't want to say a reason for concern, but it's certainly something to keep an eye on.
Well, I mean, I think that's neither here nor there. Are there any other guys that are, you know, injured? I know Holcomb isn't playing, but other than that, or is everybody else pretty much in the mix?
Yeah, I didn't hear of any new injuries yesterday. Connor Hayward, the third-year tight end, went down with cramps, but he seemed to be okay. I think he even returned to practice late in practice. So, you know, you're going to have guys cramping early in camp. Everyone works out, you know, between mini camp and training camp, but it's always, a little bit of a struggle for guys to acclimate to the heat and the amount of running and the amount of sweating they do. So, other than those three guys on PUP and Russell Wilson, everyone got through yesterday in pretty good shape.
What do you think seems to be the early theme? I don't know, it's only been a couple of days. Is it excitement about the rookies? Excitement about what they bring? Is it, you know, excitement about the new offense, you know?
Yeah. The new offense certainly is going to be a storyline that is going to be talked about throughout training camp. You know, Arthur Smith does things in a different way than Matt Canada. That's going to be, you know, that was natural. So there's going to be adjustments that the players and the other coaches who are not on his staff previously are going to have to make. So, you know, there's already been changes. You know, yesterday was the first practice. They didn't open practice with their traditional seven-shots drill. They went straight into team. So, you know, Arthur's changing it up a little bit. And I think with the new quarterbacks, you know, everyone talked about Justin Fields yesterday. Pat Freiermuth had a really good day. You know, how are they going to use Pat Freiermuth? Who's going to be the number two receiver behind George Pickens? All those things are going to be talked about here, you know, for the next 3 weeks before they break camp and get back to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's the thing about it. You know, the thing about Arthur Smith is when you talk to these guys, is there a clear sort of vibe that, you know, there's an adult in charge, so to speak, again?
Yeah, guys kind of dance around that a little bit because I don't think anyone wants to pour on, you know, pour salt on the wound of Matt Canada. But, you definitely hear that. The Najee Harris interview from Wednesday, I think he kind of, you know, people were kind of trying to ask him about that. And, you know, he tried to dance around it because Najee, of course, is the one who maybe, was the final tipping point with his comments in Cleveland that finally got Matt Canada fired. So, I think everyone feels that way. They're going to be diplomatic about it. But listen, Arthur Smith was a really good offensive coordinator in Tennessee. And then he went to Atlanta, was the head coach. So he's got the chops to do this job. And, I think everyone on that offense and I think the people in the front office, too, are excited to see how this works out this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's going to be very, very interesting. Like I said, just to sort of see how things change with respect to the offense. I think the other part of it is you have still this lingering question about a receiver.
Yes.
And Omar Khan seemed to sort of suggest that maybe that's not going to be happening in terms of them trading for somebody.
Yeah. I mean, listen, Paul, somebody has to become available. Omar Khan cannot make 49ers GM John Lynch trade away Brandon Ayuk or Deebo Samuel. And we could say the same thing about any number of other receivers out there who are unhappy with their contracts. So, you know, he did say that, you know, they created that cap space in the spring, so they could make a move if they wanted to. They always want to be able to improve their team if they can do that. And, you know, they took that opportunity back before the draft to make that happen. They didn't use the money then, but it's still there now. And if they want to add salary and do a sign and trade now, they're certainly capable of doing that. I don't know the exact number, but I think they're around $20 million under the cap. And Omar said yesterday they're almost never at that number. They're always close to the cap, or they're always having to do gymnastics to get under the cap at this time of the year. So they do have some flexibility. But again, you know, somebody has to become available. Somebody else has to be willing to deal a guy like Ayuk or a DK Metcalf. And, you know, to this point, that's something those teams are willing to do.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the thing. You know, the names I'm hearing are not going to become cheap. And so that's the most important thing to me is, how do you get these guys in? And if you're going to trade for them, what are you going to give up for them? What if you look at the defense, Ray? I think the question that everyone is going to have is a corner opposite Joey Porter. How do you see that shaping up now that we are actually playing football again?
Yeah, Dante Jackson, you know, who was acquired for Deontay Johnson back in March. I thought he had a really good day yesterday. And, you know, I didn't ask Tomlin if it was done by design, but Dante was matched up on George Pickens a lot yesterday, and he had two notable pass breakups, one on the sideline, one in the middle of the field. So, you know, he was hanging with George Pickens yesterday. Last year we saw Joey Porter Jr. and George Pickens matched up a lot in training camp. We'll see if Dante Jackson and George are matched up again today and later this week. But I thought for the first day, you know, Dante's a little bit smaller than Joey. He's not always going to draw that assignment against the other team's big receiver, but I thought, you know, for one day at least, he had a good day against number 14.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's you've got a number of options for sure. But that's another place, Ray. Right? They could probably add someone from outside by the end of camp.
Yeah, especially with Cam Sutton. You know, their slot corner, he's going to be out for half the season. We'll see what happens there. You know, Beanie Bishop from West Virginia was getting a shot yesterday. You know, Deshaun Elliott, their strong safety, can also play in the slot. He was there yesterday. They'll have some other options that they're going to look at here. But you know how it works. So this is the same for receiver, Paul. They're going to look at the guys who are here in camp. If they like them, then good. You know, maybe they could feel like they can go into the season with them. But they're a little bit unsure, none of those guys stand out, then they're probably going to have to make a move. So, you know, there's still some veteran corners out there on the market. A couple of them played for the Steelers last year, and Patrick Peterson and Chandon Sullivan. So they'll have options if they want to go outside the organization. But, you know, for now and next week and probably the week after, they're going to take a look at the guys who are here.
Yeah, I just said that basically this is going to be one of the most interesting camps that – we have seen in a long, long time, because there's just so many different things that, you know, in terms of just putting new guys in and maybe adding new guys even during camp. And of course, you've got a new offense. If you got the quarterback, Ray, if you can't find something to write about every day in this camp, I can't help you do your job anymore.
I know. You know, you got the Troy Faletonu, the rookie who's trying to crack the starting lineup. You got Zach Frazier, who's trying to do the same. You got Peyton Wilson, who, you know, Terrell Austin said a couple of weeks ago is probably going to be the dime linebacker. So this has a chance. And we're coming off a season, a year when they had a good draft class. But this is another draft class that has a chance to make an immediate impact. So we'll see how soon those guys are able to do it. But from what I saw in the spring, and, you know, we'll see how it goes here over the next couple of weeks. But I think Frazier, Faletonu, Wilson, even Roman Wilson at receiver, all those guys have a chance to make an impact as rookies.
For sure. Well, I know you got to get to the practice field, Ray. So keep us posted on Russell Wilson and what's going on, and keep up the good work, sir.
All right, Paul. Talk to you next week.
All right. That's Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette. And, of course, he is out in St. Vincent. He's trying really hard to chronicle what's going on with the Steelers. And beyond the quarterback city limits, what is the biggest storyline of this camp for the Steelers?
If they acquire a wide receiver, but more so to me, it's still, does Cam Hayward get a contract done? Do the Steelers and Cam agree to a contract that'll make him a Steeler for life? Or will he play this thing out, go one more year, and potentially even test the market? Or does Omar Khan and Cam get a deal done? I think that they're going to get a deal done before the beginning of camp, before the end of camp. Mark Abali seems very convinced by it, but I mean, I'm probably 50-50 on the matter right now, and I would not pay him $20 million. It's going to have to be around $17 to get it done.
Well, I would say this, that, you know, I think the Cam Hayward story is a big story from the standpoint of he's, you know, he's an all-time Steeler and all that other stuff, but he's going to play this year. So I'm a little less worried about it.
Yeah, he's not holding out. He's not holding in.
He's going to play. So to me, That's a story for down the road. I think what happens at cornerback is a huge.
Yeah, it's huge.
Huge. Because the bottom line is, if they find a guy that can play on the other side opposite Joey Porter, this defense has a chance to be special.
Well, and they're lining up with Beanie Bishop, an undrafted rookie from West Virginia, in the slot. I mean, when is the last time an undrafted rookie played on the Steelers defense?
Right.
As a rookie.
Right.
I mean, Mike Hilton at some point, wasn't he on somebody else's team, though, and bounced over to the Steelers, but was not technically a rookie, but was still like a first-year player? Other than that, an undrafted rookie, it has not happened in a long time.
No, I mean, that's a hard position to play, you know what I mean?
Yeah, slot corner.
Right. So that's the way, I mean.
Because if Dante Jackson can solidify the opposite outside spot and can allow you to kind of get away with playing a Beanie Bishop in the slot, or maybe they bring Patrick Peterson back. There's better options, you'd think, but they're very thin at this point in terms of free agency. And then you have Darius Rush. I'm very intrigued by Corey Trice.
Right.
Because they really liked him last year, the seventh rounder before he got hurt and was out for the year. What type of step does he take this year? My eyes are fixated on him in camp, the way that he developed, because he's a big guy, what, 6'2"? So potentially can play outside, and I mean, maybe you throw him in the slot. Sounds like more of an outside guy to me, though.
Right. I mean, I just feel like it's a really, to me, a collection of a lot of different kinds of players at that position.
And Trice is 6'3".
Yeah, it's a bunch of different kinds of players, and so they're going to have options.
Yeah, I mean, when you have a number one corner in Joey Porter Jr., as I think most people believe that he is, it takes away one side of the field. And the level of production from Porter last year shows it. So as long as Dante Jackson doesn't get beat like Levi Wallace and Patrick Peterson did consistently on what seemed like an every game basis last year, with the pass rush consistently helping them out as well, the defense should undoubtedly be top five, and it would be a massive disappointment if they're not.
Right.
In terms of a couple different statistical categories, but especially in points allowed.
I just think that, you know, the Steelers defense really, really, if they figure out this corner thing and they are able to stay healthy, because that's the other thing. Landon Roberts got hurt last year. Cole Holcomb got hurt last year.
They're the deepest at middle linebacker they've been in 10 plus years.
They've had some injuries. And, you know, you lose a couple of key players, it changes their defense. Obviously, TJ Watt being the most key player of them all. But to me, I'm looking at this and I say, they have everything you need in place. Everything.
Do you think strong safety's a decent play right now with Deshaun Elliott?
Yeah.
I think he's okay.
I think he's okay, but you can't have a superstar at every...
Right, like KZ was just okay last year.
And you can't have a superstar at every position, and quite frankly, that's a position... I think that if I'm going to choose where my stars are, it's going to be corner, it's going to be outside linebacker, it's going to be defensive line.
And you have a star at corner, outside linebacker, and defensive line, and the other safety spot.
Yeah, the other safety spot, and they have a star at inside linebacker and
Patrick Queen.
And Patrick Queen.
Who was rated higher on the top 100 players list, did you see this, than Cam Hayward and Minkah Fitzpatrick. He's the highest rated Steeler to be unveiled on the top 100 right now.
So That's my point. You've got essentially five superstars. Then you've got Alex Highsmith, who's probably, you know, one notch down below the superstar level.
Yeah, very good player.
You know what I mean? Joey Porter Jr., who's probably one notch down from the superstar level, but that's because he's young.
He's probably going to emerge into a superstar.
You know? I mean, so you're talking about seven positions now out of 11 where you have legitimate, you know, star caliber players. So that's seven out of 11. Now you have a Landon Roberts, who I think is a good player. And let's see.
Elliott at safety, we talked about. Dante Jackson at corner. We'll see.
You got three positions. That's why I say you got, you know, corner, you got to, that's the one. If you solidify a corner, you can live with your strong safety. You can live with the guy opposite Patrick Queen, which is probably going to be a Landon Roberts. And, you know, your two guys on the defensive line.
I'm not fully convinced about the defensive line. I'm not convinced with Larry Ogunjobi. Can he stay healthy? And when he is healthy, is he efficient? Is he effective?
If he stays healthy, he'll be fine. But
how effective was he last year, though?
That first part, I don't know that he was really ever 100% healthy either. I mean, he had a bunch of little,
part of the problem. He hasn't been for a large portion of his career.
Exactly. That's the thing about him. Keanu Benton.
You paid him a bunch of money.
Keanu Benton, you know.
A lot of people think he's going to break out this year. I know Donnie's one of them. DeMarvin Leal is pretty much just hanging on right now.
That's more concerning. For instance, if you ask me to rank, okay, what are you concerned about on the Steelers defense? I would say the defensive line, not named Cam Hayward. Right?
Yeah.
Opposite corner.
Right.
I don't know that I'm really concerned about safety, but I guess.
I'm not that concerned about it.
Because they don't have a superstar there, safety.
Slot corner is where I'm kind of concerned, too, because there's so many three wide receiver sets now. Or is Elliott going to cover tight ends? Probably more so than a slot corner. Unless you throw Corey Trice out there in a dime package.
Right.
So that's one area where I need to see it before I can truly believe it. Who's going to cover Mark Andrews? Who's going to cover David Njoku? Because the Steelers, I mean, still, for years, it's been a problem, other than maybe 1 year in the past five plus, where they have not done very well covering tight ends. Now, is that going to fall on Patrick Queen? Is that going to fall on Elliott, one of those Ravens who have converted to Steelers? Or is that going to fall on a Beanie Bishop at slot corner?
Well,
I think more so safety linebacker tandem, but I mean, we've seen TJ Watt guarding tight ends before.
Well, here's the thing. I'm not that worried about slot. We've got breaking news. Breaking news.
How breaking is it?
We have.
Let's see it.
Starts with Brooke Breyer.
Yep.
Russell Wilson is in a ball cap standing off to the side during team walkthrough for the second day.
Hmm.
Chris Adamski then posts a video of Russell Wilson in a ball cap. Alan Saunders, it's just a still photo.
Joe Rutter, just a still photo in a ball
Mike DeFabo, it's a video. Ray Fittipaldi, still photo. Mark Cabali, still photo. Joe Rutter, you're right. I see it now. Still photo.
So I'm going to say that Russell Wilson is not practicing today, if we're getting any indications and hints. Nick Faribault, Slippery Rock Zone.
I didn't see it. I missed his.
Russell Wilson off to the side during walkthroughs in a hat, wearing cleats. So we'll see about his practice participation, which, as Justin Fields is working with the first team yet again.
That's good. That's good. There he is.
So that's interesting. I mean, 2 days in a row makes you pause a little bit. Again, not like a serious injury.
Yeah.
But it makes you think a little bit.
Nick, it's a pleasure to have you. I don't believe we've ever spoken before. You're a recent graduate of Slippery Rock. Am I right about that?
No.
No. Anyway.
Yeah.
That's right. It's another Paul pause. Paul will now silently research statistics during our live radio show.
This is one of the best drops in fan history, I swear.
Here's the thing. I was just like, you know, looking at all the videos or all the photos of Russell Wilson, and I came across one where, you know, it was somebody making a throw, and he was in an orange jersey, and then the guy was like, oh, nobody else in football can make this throw. Well, here it was that Emmanuel Acho. You know who that is?
Emmanuel Acho, yeah, the guy on Fox.
Total moron. One of the biggest morons on social media and anywhere else.
Yeah.
He says, it's actually a video of Caleb Williams. There are only two other quarterbacks in the NFL that can make this throw with this accuracy while moving at this speed. Caleb Williams, even in shorts and jerseys, is as good as advertised.
Remember when Zach Wilson threw that ball 70 yards at his pro day? And they called him the greatest thing ever?
I mean, I can't with some of these people.
Not with football and shorts, man.
I mean, with some of these people. Off the Top was presented by JP Roofing and Siding. And of course, that was a rundown of what we were going to talk about. Fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And also, the Fan Hotline, 412-928-9370, is presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. And of course, Ray Fittipaldo. Everybody loves Raymond. Ray Fittipaldo brought to you by LGKG Injury Lawyers. 7 locations in Pittsburgh region. They'll take your personal injury case personally. LGKG.com. It's too many of the same similar letters there. Do you have a rundown of what we're going to be talking about? Do you have at least our guests? Who are our guests today, Sam?
Yes, we have a lot of guests. We have Noah Hiles from Arizona joining us at 11:30. It is, I think, going to be 8:30 Noah time.
Okay.
Chris Peek of Panther Lair will join us at 12:40. Pitt football starting to ramp up to TBT this week, and Bob Walk will join us at 1.
So we've got Chris Peek. It's always fun to talk to Chris Peek. And I think Pitt camp started too, right?
I think so. Got a chance to talk to a lot of those guys, Gavin Bartholomew, Donovan McMillan at the celebrity softball game.
Football is here. But guess what? We're going to talk Pirates next. How about that?
I like it. Huge series. Huge series for the Pirates. How about the Mets came back and beat Atlanta yesterday by 1 run in 10. San Diego, no hit Washington. Two teams that are ahead of the Pirates right now. It's going to be a race to the finish, and two trades were made in the last 24 hours.
Yes, we're going to talk about all this stuff next in baseball, but we got to get to a break. It's 93.7 The Fan.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.